Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every week for 25 years, a group has eaten dinner together on a Tuesday. This tradition started in Wellington in 1999. It's been hosted in kitchens across the country. Tuesday night dinners has been open to absolutely anybody to share a meal and a glass of wine and some stimulating conversation. People have met lifelong friends, even future spouses, at the dinners. And the dinners are marking their 25th anniversary today. Mike Eastwood is the founder and the organiser of Tuesday Night Dinners. We are going to cross live to the 25th celebrations later this hour. But first, Mike very generously sat down to chat with us yesterday in the Wellington studio. And he began by telling me a bit about how all of this got started.
Well, it was an accident. I joke that it's the most successful thing I haven't tried to do. My neighbour used to come over for dinner and, you know, it just happened again and again. And one week I was like, hey, let's have dinner on Wednesday. And he's like, no, it's Tuesday. It's always Tuesday. It just sort of stuck on Tuesday. And then more and more people started turning up and it just got out of control. So I used to just cook for whoever turned up. And people would bring wine or ingredients, and I'd wander up to Moore Wilson's and just go, it's asparagus season, asparagus risotto coming up. Mm. And people started to complain. They're like, we want to cook too, so we need to know what the theme is. And it's like, there's a theme? Oh, okay. I don't know what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow morning, let alone dinner tonight. Mm. So it's kind of weird deciding in advance what I'm going to eat. And it's like, oh, well, okay, let's do Chinese New Year. That's an easy one. Mm. Or red. And more and more people started turning up and inviting other people. And, yeah, I did a little tally this morning. That was about 1,304 dinners ago, plus or minus, who knows.
That is amazing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, what's your deal? Like, are you you're a feeder, are you? You like,
I think it's that love language. So for me as a kid, Mum's an amazing cook. There was always dinner on the table. We'd always sit down to eat dinner together, and there's a connection there that you don't get. Like if you meet at a bar, even a restaurant, but you still get that connection over food. But for me, that it is acts of service, it's an act of love, it's connection, it's creativity. I'm actually trained as a designer. Also, I work a little bit too much, so if I don't have something recurring in my life, I sort of, the year breezes past and I haven't seen many people. So, it ticks so many boxes.
I mean, a lot of people, I imagine, listening to this would think, wow, that sounds amazing. But not at my house. God.
Completely understandable.
Do you not get that?
It's kind of interesting. So it was always at my place. And I moved around a bit. People still found me. When I moved in with my partner, Melissa, it's like, well, that's not fair to bring it home every Tuesday. So I kicked it out of home when it was barely a teenager. And people are like, oh, it's going to break. It won't work. It's always your house. And then people started booking and saying, oh, thank you. It's so good to host after all these years of coming to your place. So people really, they loved it. And, you know, some weeks it's hard to get a host. That's understandable. Some weeks we end up in a restaurant somewhere occasionally. Sometimes we end up at Oriental Bay having a picnic. Mm. But it's only 1 month in Wellington that you can actually do that successfully. So Yeah, it is a bold thing hosting, but it's also a bold thing leaving your house with a dish that you've cooked and going to a stranger's house.
It is. Like, you're putting yourself out there, aren't you?
I think you're definitely leaving your comfort zone. Fortunately, good people know good people. And one of the things that really makes me smile is to see somebody that wanders in for the first time. And most weeks I'll get to meet somebody new, pretty much almost every week, sometimes four new people. But to see somebody wander in that I don't know and people going, hey, who are you? What have you made? And like, there's no ice breaking, there's no judgment, there's no, it's just welcome. And people start showing them the new person around somebody else's house usually and going, you know, drop your stuff there. I've just opened this glass, bottle of wine. Would you like a glass? What do you need? How can I help? And it's just like, it makes me really proud seeing that in action or hearing stories about that from people when I wasn't even there.
So, I was going to ask about that. What happens when you're not there?
In the olden days when it was at my house all the time, I'd just give somebody the keys. So there was a really nice night where I'd given my friend Angie the keys. This is going back in the day. I was in Hong Kong, actually doing a dinner party in Hong Kong. And so I was wandering around the markets buying food and my phone went through. Mm. And they're like, oh, what time's dinner tonight? You know, chatting away as if I was coming to dinner. Yeah. And then I made some comment. They're like, what do you mean? It's like, no, I'm in Hong Kong. I'm not coming to dinner. I'm doing a dinner party in Hong Kong. Like, it just keeps going. So I'd like to think it's bigger than me in that, like, there's been times where I was overseas for several months and, yeah, I was organising a dinner party from Europe. But, it still happens. It still keeps going. People are still hungry even if I'm not there.
Who comes? Is it generally sort of friends of friends and then friends of friends of friends and so on? Are there normally like 1 or 2 degrees of separation between you and the new people?
I think there's 1 or 2 separations between everybody in New Zealand at the moment. But like, I remember one of these, I was going to say kids, but that's probably a fair description. Mm. Were backpacking through New Zealand and saw the website and just rocked up to dinner. And they bought a bag of rice and they didn't even know how to cook rice. So after their second attempt, somebody went over and just said, look, there's enough food here, just come and eat. And so they were so confused. I mean, they're in the States now, so no idea if they've ever been back to New Zealand, but that would have shaped their view of New Zealand, that's for sure.
So do people let you know in advance if they're coming and everybody's expected to bring a plate, is that right?
There is no RSVP.
Right.
Just rock up. Basically, there are no rules. People will rock in with everything from something out of a restaurant or something they've whipped up in the kitchen that day or something out of a box or fish and chips from the local store. It doesn't actually matter. It's that sense of contribution. If you're running late and all you can do is grab something on the way, then that's fine. And if you can't, that's fine too, because there's always enough food.
And so it's less about, would I be right in saying, you know, maybe it began with, you know, you cooking dinner and other people coming around and sort of having that dinner, but now it's not so much about you cooking dinner for people, it's about different people coming together and having dinner together.
Yeah, that's a good description.
What's the most people that you've had for one?
I remember on a birthday we would have had over 100.
Oh my God, at your house?
No, that was, I hired up at the Innermost Garden, so it's like City Council Hall.
It was like 100 people rocking up unexpectedly at your place, I mean. You know.
40 or 50 wouldn't be unusual at my place, usually for a special event, but there might be 4 of us sitting around a table having a conversation and a meal together. So typically it's like 10 to 20.
It struck me when I was reading about this that there aren't that many places where you can go and be
social without it costing money or without it having expectation on you or without it being potentially quite overwhelming? Do you know what I mean by that? I don't know.
I think it can be overwhelming. I'm going to
pick up on
some people. Yeah, some people find. The other two things you said there is expectations, and I think that's really important. If you go with expectations, then maybe they won't be met. But if you go without expectations, then you're entering with a mindset that is explorative and adventurous and engaging, and it just frees you up to go wherever. But just look back, you talked on money, and it has been a money-free environment in that. We've done some fundraisers, we've raised some money for charity, but there is no cash has changed hands at Tuesday and never will. It's just not, like, that's not what it's about. So to your point of turning up and being able to have an economical night out, then, yeah, it's perfect.
Who does the dishes?
I think in my last life I didn't do any dishes and I've been severely punished. when it was back in Torrey Street, we had two dishwashers going full time, and sometimes they'd still be running on Thursday. Wow. It's not as messy now because people are hosting more. They're sort of, a couple of people will swoop in and do some dishes, but generally the host is lumbered with a bit of a mess.
Do you ever get chefs coming along?
Yeah, we've had some stellar chefs that have left a day of cooking in a kitchen and come out and cook dinner in somebody else's kitchen. We've had phenomenal patisserie chefs, Michelin star chefs come up and just like blow everyone away.
Ever had to kick anyone out?
I've asked somebody to leave once.
Only once in 25 years?
Once. And I just went over and I stood next to him. It's just like, you know, there was a breakup going on and it was just like, dude, it's Tuesday night dinner. And he just looked at me and went, oh, sorry, yeah, I forget it was Tuesday. And he left. And that's the only time I've even asked anyone.
25 years is a long time. You must have had some really memorable things happen. And I guess people meet each other and sometimes, you know, friendships and relationships can persist for, you know, you could be the spark that could ignite a people getting together potentially.
Yeah, there's a couple of weddings through people have met.
No.
There's lots of other incidents which I won't go into.
Give us one. You can give us one if you like.
I think of one couple that got married, which we actually, Matt and Leo, we had the pleasure of going to their wedding in Luxembourg, which is another good story, but I won't go there.
Sure.
And they met at a Tuesday. Yeah, they were around for dinner on Saturday with their son, Elio, who is a star. So, yeah, amazing connections. And again, it makes me smile when I'm out somewhere and I see people that I've met, whether romantically or not, it doesn't matter. But those connections are amazing.
Mike, that must be the most amazing feeling. Like, you know, I mean, step back and think about it. Your Tuesday night dinner got a couple together who went on to get married and have a kid. Like, that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for you. Not to, you know.
Thank you. I can't take credit for you.
Well, I mean, you kind of... Do you know what I mean? No, and I don't mean to sort of, you know, garland you and to big you off or anything like that, but that's really amazing.
I think it's a safe environment. I think of a time where there was a lot of people from the lesbian community coming, and when somebody asked, oh, is this a queer thing? It's like, I don't have any prejudice or boundaries around that. It's like, that's got nothing to do with me. I try and avoid those labels as much as possible in day-to-day language. It's like as soon as you categorize and cluster, you sort of alienate from other people and create silos.
I know what you mean. And like, because in a sense, it's the simplest thing in the world, isn't it? People coming together to eat. I mean, there are interesting philosophical underpinnings to this, that not to over-intellectualize it, but, you know, you're having strangers around to your house, people are having strangers around to their houses in an age where we're, you know, people are installing floodlights and 24/7 cameras. People often talk about feeling isolated from their communities and their neighbours. You're taking it in a totally different direction, and you have been for, as you say, 25 years.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting in that, one, it started with my neighbours. It was in Holland Street in the middle of Wellington in 1999, and it was my neighbours coming for dinner. And the community with neighbours there was amazing. We'd go to each other's places more so than I've experienced in the suburbs, ironically. But we had one guy who I'd met through a neighbour, and this guy was pretty rough. And I was like, come for dinner. And to see him wander in where people are like, oh, who, I haven't met you before. Have you got a drink? Here, have some of this, and offering food. And they were so utterly confused. They left early. Right. And I actually got told off by somebody for inviting them because they were so rough. And I'm like, sorry, but that's irrelevant. It's like, you welcome people into your home and feed them. It's like, it's...
Yeah, leave your judgment at the door kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I still think about that day. Yeah, there's so many. I mean, so many stories. Just going through photos to look, put on a show reel tomorrow. It's been a kind of emotional day.
What's your, of all of the dishes that you've cooked for Tuesday night dinners over the years, what do you think you've cooked more than any other?
So when it's my birthday, which is in November, I always choose Italian because I just love cooking and eating Italian food. But I'm actually going to go back to fried noodles, which is the dish where it all really started. I had a big wok, gas-fired wok. And so I was actually feeding four people for like $8 in those days. I mean, it was a few haircuts ago. Mm. And I still do that. Like, there's probably, I don't know, a dozen or so Asian dishes that people are like, oh, can you, like, if people are turning up, the special requests come in ahead of time for specific dishes.
Is that what you're going to make for tomorrow?
We've had a few dinners which have been a whole course. We've done this on a weekend where a whole course is served in one Chinese soup spoon. So that's what I'm leaning towards today. But yeah, we'll see what time I can finish tomorrow and knock up a few dishes.
And that was Mike Eastwood, the founder of Tuesday Night Dinners, who sat down to chat to us yesterday. And tonight, this Tuesday, has been the 25th birthday celebrations. And we're crossing to the party guests now. We've got Angie on the line. G'day, Angie.
Hello, Emil.
How are you?
I'm extremely good. Hey, we've had a wonderful Tuesday.
I bet you have. How's the night been? Tell me about it.
So lots of people turned up that haven't been to a Tuesday for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So lovely old familiar faces, randoms we call them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had a few virgins, people who have never been to a Tuesday before, that got to, and this blew their mind, can I say. Blew their minds because they're not always as flash as this one. And, you know, they're just in someone's home and they're just a gathering of lovely people. But tonight was a little bit next level.
Yeah, you pulled out the stops of it for tonight. Tell us about the venue and the food. You went for hors d'oeuvre style, did you?
Yeah, canapes. Well, we did a little deal with the Trip Hotel on Tory Street and they were exceptional. Amy and Malcolm were exceptional and looked after us beautifully. So we couldn't have asked for anything better. But we're out on the deck now and we're looking at a view that we looked at, you know, 15 years ago, a little bit higher now. But it's a little bit mind-blending to be in the same spot that we were.
I bet it is, sort of looking at how the city and the landscape's changed, and I guess how each of you have changed in terms of your physical appearance and your personalities.
Going through the photos of old Tuesday dinners. Yes, we're all so young and fresh.
You've been going for a while, haven't you, Angie?
Yep, I've been coming to most of them. Yeah, amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing collection of people.
Yeah.
That, and there's been evolutions of it depending on who's been living with Mike or what he's been working on. There's been a theatre evolution and a wetter evolution. We had Saki here that lived. And so they bring all new, interesting people all the time. And
Mike,
new, interesting food as well.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone brings food.
Mike was, I don't know whether you listened to the interview that we did with him just then, but he was so deeply humble. It almost feels as though he didn't give himself enough credit. I mean, tell me from your point of view a bit about Mike. He sounds like a pretty special dude.
He's a special dude, yep. He's right here making
faces,
make it,
yeah. Avert eye contact. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's very welcoming. But also just really easygoing. So, you know, what if 40 people come to your house? Never mind, you know? It's okay. It's what it is.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah.
Great stuff, Angie. Well, have a great night. I know that there are a few of you there. So, hello, everybody. And have yourselves a good evening. And hopefully your heads won't be too sore tomorrow, eh?
Oh, I'm on the soda water now, so, you know, we're all responsible adults.
Have a good evening, Angie. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Emil. Good night.
Catch you later. And that was Angie. A long time attender of Tuesday night dinners, which sound like a great old time. 25th anniversary tonight. It's a weekly potluck open to absolutely anybody. And if you want to get along, whether you live in Wellington or not, you can find out more at tuesdaynightdinners.org.nz.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.